Blog Talk Radio.
Great evening, everyone, and welcome to this first Sunday, August 3rd, and our new edition of Family Values with Kristen Michelle. I am your host, Kristen Michelle, and I am super excited to be with you this evening. We have some information from our sponsors. So today, our sponsor is Audible.com, which is a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever you want and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audiblepodcast.com/familyvalues. So thank you to our sponsor, and I encourage you all to check them out. Great information, great opportunity to listen to the books that you want to listen to and just continue to gain that knowledge. So, again, this is your Family Values Hour, and I am so excited to talk with you all today. We are talking about communication this evening. Very, very, very popular topic, very important topic. And we are excited to have our guest tonight who's going to share a wealth of knowledge, getting us up to speed and really just helping us to either refocus or remind ourselves of the importance of the areas of communication, all that there is involved, how we can make some shifts in how we communicate, and just looking at what it takes to keep that communication piece going and thriving in any relationship. Because I'm sure we've all had those moments where we felt like you just don't understand where I'm coming from, you misunderstood what I'm saying. And in any relationship, whether it's with a spouse, significant other, a coworker, your children, we've all had those moments where I know I communicate, I know what I said, but you don't always hear what I said. So, or how I said it, and more importantly, the intention behind it. So we're going to talk about all of that and more around the topic of communication. So if you give me one moment, I'm going to check to make sure we have our wonderful guest. Hold 1 second for me. Okay, all my wonderful callers
Hello.
Out there. Is this Leslie?
Hello?
Leslie, can you hear me? Leslie, this is Kristen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent. I apologize because there was a glitch with the phone system, so I was not able to pull it up the way we discussed. But are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. We are live on the show tonight, and I so appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday evening to pour into all of our listeners and just share your wealth of knowledge, because I'm so excited. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mrs. Leslie Christia. She works in with relationships, and she is absolutely awesome. She teaches how to build a better relationship with your significant other, and I will allow her to share more about what she does. So, Leslie, I'll go ahead and let you open up and tell us who you are, and then we'll jump in.
All right. Thank you, Kristen. Yes, as you said, my name is Leslie Christia. I'm actually a retired Navy veteran, and I currently still work with active duty military and family members in different life skills topics. One of my favorites being the ones that deal with relationships and also with communication. I often say that those topics are not just my passion, but my purpose, and there's been different opportunities prior to this employment that has led me in that direction. So, therefore, I use my prior opportunities, my experiences in relationships, along with my training to just help people in their relationships as much as I can. Now, my passion is mostly with marriages, but communication is key to all types of relationships.
Absolutely. It, it, so, certainly is. And this, as I was mentioning just a few moments ago, is how communication is obviously important in any type of relationship. That's how we are able to relate to one another, whether it's nonverbal communication or verbal communication. There's no other way to relate to someone else. So how we do that and how effectively we do that is where our focus can be in order to enhance those relationships. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We hear all of our lives that communication is key,
mm-hmm.
and we get that. But if communication is key to all things, then why isn't it mandatory to take an effective communication class earlier on in life?
You
know, I often think about how we get training in every single job that we do. When I was in the military, I had to go to boot camp first, and then I had to learn my specific job. I don't care if you work at McDonald's, you are going to get trained in that job. But then there's other responsibilities that we have in life, whether it's a spouse or even a parent. But we don't get training in that. You just have to learn as you go. And communication is key to all of those things, but there is no formal training. And we just take it for granted that, well, I know how to communicate because I know how to speak, but communication is not just talking. There's so many more pieces.
You're absolutely right.
It's communication, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's so true. I actually wanted to jump in right there because you were talking about mm-hmm. how we go to training for our jobs. We go to school to learn different information in order to progress in our lives. But those life skills, those general life skills, they're not often taught in a classroom setting or from a textbook because, as you said, so many people, and my understanding or my belief is people automatically assume those life skills are supposed to come naturally, therefore I don't need anyone to teach me. I don't need anyone to teach me how to love. I don't need anyone to teach me how to communicate. All I need you to teach me how to speak. And we do that through, you know, as babies. And it's interesting because I watch my little ones now. I have two toddlers, and they totally changed my outlook on human beings, just watching how they grow and learn. But obviously they learn by mimicking us. So the people that they're around the most, those are the people that they mimic. That's when they learn. Because even in certain things that my daughters say, I recognize they're saying it because they hear me saying it so much or they hear their father saying it, you know, a lot. So it's funny because really is my word all the time now. And when my daughter Ramona, she looked at me. I forgot what the conversation was, but her response was, really? And I had to laugh at it because she's mimicking what she hears. So those life skills, you know, I think the mentality is we learn those naturally so we don't have to go to school. We don't have to sit in the classroom or sit in a group setting to learn about those. We just kind of do it naturally.
Exactly. And we also naturally and habitually make communication mistakes all day, every day, because we weren't trained.
Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that? Because I totally agree that we don't. We go through life and we just figure it out, which to a certain degree, that's expected. We're expected to make certain errors in order to learn and what have you. But are you thinking of anything in particular when it comes to those communication mistakes or things that we do?
So many things that we could change. There's so many things. A very familiar one that most people know about, we know it, but we don't really practice it, is the I versus you, you know.
Yes.
You know, we often have valid complaints, and it's frustrating when we're not understood or we're not heard. And that's the thing about communication. Communication is an exchange of information, but effective mm-hmm. communication is a total different animal. In order to have effective communication, all parties involved need to have a clear understanding. And in order to have a clear understanding, we need to change the way we are saying what we're saying, because it's not always what we say, but how we say it. And the classic I versus you may have a valid point, But the minute we point out someone else that it's you, that complaint turns into a criticism, and there's this automatic breakdown in communication because now I hear you, but I'm not listening, and we all know that listening is huge in communication, and there is a difference between hearing and listening.
So let's talk about, go ahead, I'll let you finish.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was going to say the I versus you, you know, that's one. Another one is, you know, speaking in positives versus negatives. I love to use that example when we you mentioned children.
Well, let me backtrack just a moment with the I versus you, because there's some people out there who may not understand what that means or what could be altered in communication with the I versus you. So could you elaborate on that for me?
Yes, absolutely. If you have a complaint about something or, you know, there's an issue, it doesn't even have to be a major issue, but it can turn into something when we cause other people to get defensive. So if something was said and I felt disrespected by that, I'm very valid to feel however I want to feel.
Okay.
But would you rather hear, I felt disrespected when, or you're disrespectful?
And let me just pause right there, because even the way you said it, it's so true. When we feel offended, our natural response is to let it be known. I want you to know what I'm feeling. I want to portray what I'm feeling. So even in the way you just said it, when you said, I feel offended versus, You offended me.
Right.
That, you know, even your tone changed, because it's something about when we can point the finger at someone else. You did this to me. And I think that's the mentality that comes across a lot. I'm feeling this, so I'm automatically going to blame you. I'm not even going to look at the big picture and think about, was it just a communication misunderstanding? What part do I play in this scenario right here, and why I feel the way that I feel? So
right, and our feelings are valid, but there could be a situation that causes me to feel a negative way, but that same exact situation doesn't cause someone else to feel in a negative way. So is it my feelings due to past experiences, or is it something that you did, you know? It's not always the case that someone else intentionally meant to hurt us, because I'm pretty sure many of us have been in situations where we feel that we went to someone very respectful, calm, cool, and collect, but they still got upset and defensive. So we don't often mean anything, but it doesn't mean that the other person isn't feeling that way. So if they understood you felt that way, then they'd have a better understanding. Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant it this way. So if I explain how I felt and speak for myself instead of putting it on you, because once I put it on you, there's a breakdown right then and there. You're going to get in defense mode.
Mm-hmm. And then that becomes, like you said, that person becomes defensive, and then that's when the heat rises in that conversation.
Chain reaction, yes,
back and forth. Yeah, absolutely. And at that point, as you said earlier, no one's listening. It's all about each side is looking at how do I defend myself and how do I get my point heard.
Yes.
Absolutely. So the I versus you is definitely important. And then you were, what was the next topic that you brought up?
Speaking in positives versus negatives, a lot of people, and we've all heard that, you know, positive reinforcement works better than negative reinforcement. Usually you'll hear that when it comes to children, but even in other relationships, whether it's marriage or coworkers or anything, it holds true. But we tend to point out when someone does something wrong a lot more often than when someone does something right. But also, when I say speaking, speaking in positives versus negatives, tell the person what you want them to do, not what you don't want them to do. this is really great with children because, you know, children's first words, other than mama and dada, usually what's the next word that most children learn after that?
No.
Exactly. No. Put that down. No. Come here. No. No, no, no. And why is it that they learn that and they run around saying no all the time?
Because that's what they hear.
They hear it so much. Exactly. And they hear it so much because we're telling it to them so much. But let me ask you this. Is a child ever told no for the same behavior more than once?
Is a child told no for the same behavior more than once?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure they are.
Exactly. You don't tell them no once, and then they got it, and they never do it again, right?
Right.
But what we don't realize is that sometimes it's because we're telling them, don't do this, don't do that, stop this, no, 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 don't touch, you know, we're not. And then immediately, yes, they do stop. But then eventually they go right back to it because you only told them what not to do. You didn't replace it with what to do. So eventually they went right back to the only thing they knew how. And if people out there don't understand what I mean, let's just say right now I tell you all, do not think about pink elephants. Pink elephants, I don't want you thinking about pink elephants. Now what are you thinking about?
Pink elephants.
But I told you not to. Why would you do that thing I told you not to do?
Because that's what you put in my head. Absolutely.
Exactly. And we get mad at the children for it. But if I had told you instead what I wanted you to do, I want you all to think of a long-necked, tall-legged giraffe.
And
no one would have thought about pink elephants.
Right.
Exactly.
Love it.
See? But we don't think about that. We need to think before we speak, right? Especially in children. Children are so literal. They're not thinking with the adult brain. Another popular one with children, all right, let's just say you have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old because, you know, they're straight shooters. They're going to get right to it. They're going to tell you exactly how it is. You walk in the house, you step on a toy, it pokes you in your foot after you took your shoes off. And you say, why are your toys all over the floor? And they say, because I put them there. Now, that might work if you're 3 years old. But when they get a little older and they're about 5 or 6 years old, they know better than to say that now, don't they?
Exactly.
Because I put them there. Because now they might get a little something in return after saying something like that. But actually, if you ask them, why are your toys all over the floor? And they say, because I put them there, is that the correct response to that question?
That's not what
you're
looking for. Right. That's not what we're looking for.
Exactly. That's not what you're looking for, but that is the answer. So if that's not what you're looking for, why do we say that as parents? You don't want to know why they're all over the floor. You actually want them picked up, or you want them to learn not to use and throw everything down on the floor at once. But when they get older and they learn that that's not the response that you want, now they're confused. So they're like, huh, why is your stuff all over the floor? And they're like, because, no, I can't say that. Now I'm confused. So what do I say? I don't know. Now you're mad because they said, I don't know. And what do we parents say? Well, if you don't know, then who does? You just asked the wrong question.
Yep. And, again, it comes from, I believe a lot of that stems from our selfish nature. We're born pretty selfish. That's what we focus on ourselves. We see it all the time, how I cry because I'm hungry, I want this, I don't get my way, I throw a tantrum, because that's all we know. We're not born into this world thinking about other people. We have to learn to start caring for other people and considering other people's feelings and thoughts. So naturally, it's innate for us to think about ourselves. And then especially when we're in a feeling emotions where we're angry or we're upset, those are the reason why we're feeling that is because we feel like we've been wronged or we feel like we've been let down or what have you. So therefore, those more negative or catabolic feelings that causes us to focus on self. Whereas when we're feeling happy and joyful and things are going our way, we're okay, and we're open to sharing that with the world. We're open to looking at how other people are feeling because we're in a lighter place. But when we're feeling a little heavier, then that causes us to focus on self and the woe is me and the why did this happen to me? That victim mentality kicks in, and it's all around that selfish behavior. So if I'm angry because I walked in the room and I just came home from work and I wanted to walk into a clean house and get my children have toys all over the house, my selfish nature is saying, this is not how I wanted it to be. You go fix it. But we're not thinking about how do I relay that. We're just thinking, I'm not getting my way right now, and I want you to know about it.
Right. And I'm so glad you mentioned feelings, emotions, because our word choice is not the only thing breaking down communication, but the fact that we, and this goes along with I statement, I feel, but the fact that we aren't really in touch with our feelings. And most people that say, well, I tell people exactly how I feel. Are you really telling them how you feel? Or are you just telling them what they did that was wrong that caused you to be angry? Because anger is a secondary emotion that actually covers all other emotions. We don't like to confront our feelings. That's another thing that we really weren't taught. And you brought up the crying and the kicking and screaming and the temper tantrums. It's funny because whether a baby is feeling hungry, scared, tired, lonely, sad, dirty and needs to be changed, all they're going to do is cry and kick and scream. And because that's the only way they know how to communicate, we're going to run and we're going to assess their needs. Are they dry? Maybe they're hungry, and so on and so on. And if you fast forward to toddler stage, now when they're kicking and screaming and crying, now they're about to get in trouble because how dare you? I'm in the middle of the mall and you're doing this. But at what point? Now, this isn't to say that the behavior is appropriate, but wait a minute. My entire life, I kicked and screamed and crying and whined, and you assessed my need. Now I'm getting in trouble for it. So at what stage do we actually teach them that, yes, the behavior is inappropriate, but what is actually the emotion, the feeling behind it? Because even now as adults, we don't identify our emotions. Happy, maybe sad and mad, that's easy. But when we're feeling insecure or jealous or betrayed or hurt, not only do we not communicate that, we don't even identify it for ourselves. So we use anger. And so that even makes it more difficult to choose the right words when we're trying to communicate. Because once we're angry, we're really being defensive. And the whole point is to get a desired result. Why do we communicate in the exact way that's actually going to do the exact opposite?
Actually, and before we continue with that and we're talking about hearing, I want to take a quick pause for our sponsor, Audible.com, and let you know that today's show, Family Values, is being sponsored by Audible.com, which is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, so it's an excellent way to listen to your information. Here's all types of titles of books that you can listen to on your way to work, in the car, on the road, on your iPod. Excellent information. So any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. So if you sign up at audiblepodcast.com/familyvalues, you get one free audiobook and a 1-month trial of the service. So we've been talking about hearing, and we want to thank Audible for sponsoring this show this evening. So, Leslie, I want to come back to you, and we were talking about just how we get, we're more or less saying how we get into that victim mentality, and I really feel that a lot of times there's a certain place where we just automatically assume the people around us, the people who are around us on a consistent basis, they should just know. And I know this comes up with a lot of married couples and courting couples where the mentality is, we say we don't expect people to read our minds, but sometimes I think our actions relay that we really feel like they should, because we don't always communicate what we need, but then we're quick to be defensive or quick to feel victimized when things don't go our way and things didn't happen the way we wanted them to happen. But if we take a step back and replay whatever it is that we communicated, let's, for example, if you went and you gave your spouse a grocery list to go pick up some things at the grocery store, and they come back with the items, but in your mind you knew you specifically wanted Kraft cheese, and they came back with Borden's cheese, and you're all upset. Well, you know I always buy Kraft, but they just picked up whatever they saw on sale, or picked up the first bag of shredded cheese that they saw. So they weren't thinking about a specific brand because you put on there shredded cheese, you know. But that can become a huge issue. And obviously, this is just a minor example. But there are situations like that where we don't always clarify specifically what we're looking for or specifically what we want, but then we get upset when we don't get it or we don't get it the way we want it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, hate to admit it, but it's actually we females are really, really, really the ones that are guilty of that the most.
And I will agree with you.
Yes, it is. It is the truth. They should already know, and, you know, well, no. And we are different, and especially in how we communicate. And also especially how we connect with one another. And to be honest, when it comes to communicating with a male, they want it straight and to the point. Don't drop hints and expect them to pick up your hints that you dropped around all over the place.
Wait a minute, Leslie, can you say that one more time, please, for any female out there, no matter what age?
Yes.
Please. And men, please back us up on this. Let's repeat that one more time.
Do not drop hints all over the place. Don't leave those trailer hints and expect your man to pick them up. Say what you mean what you say, clear, concise, and to the point.
Now, Leslie, I want to touch on that for just a moment, because as women, and I can honestly say that I found myself in that position at moments in my life where I felt like my husband should have known something, or I felt like I thought I communicated properly, but yet I still didn't get what I wanted. Or sometimes I really do just drop hints just to see what may happen. And I really think that a lot of times, especially when it comes to married couples, it falls into that idea that we want a certain level of spontaneity or a certain level of surprise, and therefore if we drop a hint, as opposed to just coming straight out and saying, wow, I would really like you to go get that particular pair of shoes that I saw or that particular outfit that I saw, you know, you just kind of walk by and window shop and it's like, oh yeah, that dress looks nice, and keep walking, hoping that your husband's going to go back while you're not with him and surprised by the dress while you're in another store and surprise you with this dress, and it's like, oh, yeah. But if that happens,
ladies, you are a lucky one, because that's not likely.
It's not. It's really not. But I feel that a lot of times for women, that may play a role when it comes to the dropping hints piece. I think sometimes it's really just a matter of we're still looking for that element of surprise and, you know, wanting that spontaneity piece to show up.
Yes. And you know what? In some relationships, that may be the case, but, and even then, they may be spontaneous, but, you know, do it in a different area or in a different way that you really had liked it to happen. So, yes, clear, concise, and to the point. I don't know how much time we have, but I would love to use a personal example of mine.
Absolutely. We actually have some time, so please share.
Okay. I have a personal example that I often use when I'm doing briefs and communication. Again, it goes back to the I statements, though. So before I use my example, when I say clear, concise, and to the point, speak for yourself, use an I, not the other person using you, that is actually assertive communication. We practice being passive, we practice being passive-aggressive, and we practice being aggressive very well. But it's assertive communication that we need to be practicing. And 9 times out of 10, we are not doing that. That includes the I statement and acknowledging your feelings. It's that feeling thing that gets us in trouble because we don't like to talk about our feelings. And women, we think we talk about our feelings a lot better than men, but we're not admitting that we felt betrayed or jealous or insecure. We're saying, you did this and that upset me. That's what we're, you know, that's probably the extent of it. Although I've heard of I statements and I've been in sessions where it was taught, I'll be honest, I let it go in one ear and right out the other. But because I teach it now, I'm a firm believer in trying to practice what I preach. Mm-hmm. And I'm still practicing, by the way. But I also teach conflict escalation and how you can get off the issue when you're having a discussion and therefore the issues don't get resolved. And so unresolved issues tend to pile up. Well, I also often say to my participants that once you start practicing this, pick one of those unresolved issues that you have, but practice first on something very small. So I did that myself first. And one of the issues that I used in my own relationship was really simple. It was as simple as a light. So we turn on lights so we can see, correct?
Correct.
Right. And so nothing wrong with turning on the light, is there?
No, I don't see it.
No. Right. Nothing wrong with turning on the light. So my issue was that oftentimes before I would walk out the door in the evening to go wherever, to the gym, to church, to the grocery store, I'd put on an outside light by the front door so that when I came back I could see. The front of my house is actually darker than the average house because it's enclosed by a brick archway. So it's really dark in there at the front door if there's not a light on. And so I would click the light on. But when I'd come back home, the light would be off. Now, who do you think could turn the light off?
Who pays the gas and electric bill in your house?
Well, we won't go there, but that's something that is. I'm glad you said that because we can get caught up in that, and I can address conflict escalation later. But
it's funny because that comes up in my household, and you know, because I have a habit of leaving lights on in the house because I don't like it dark, and my husband, he will immediately come behind me and turn off lights, and I'm like, he's like, we're not in the room right now. But I said, but I'm going back in there. So that's the conversation.
Exactly. Okay, so we've got the same habits here because my husband click them off, right? But I'm trying to see when I come back in that house. And so the light is off. Yes, he's the one turning him off. But is there anything wrong with turning off a light?
No, not at all.
No. And his reason behind it, there's nothing wrong with it either. And so if we stop right there, we often get caught up in who's right and who's wrong, but we all agree that in that situation, no one was right or wrong. No one was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we get caught up in that. And then we could stop right there and start going back and forth and back and forth. Mm-hmm. But anyway, in this exact situation, who had the need? I had the need.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So because I have the need, it's my responsibility to communicate that need. Now we tend to communicate our needs ineffectively, and that's what I was doing at first. I gave you a couple of things that we habitually do wrong, some of the mistakes in the beginning of this session, but there's a lot more. But I did touch on asking why, and I realized that asking why is one that I'm guilty of, or used to be. So I realized that after him doing it over and over and over again, I would say, why do you keep turning the light off? I don't want to know why. I want it on. So that's why asking why isn't effective. You don't even want to know why. Automatic defense mode. When someone's in defense mode, they're either going to shut down or retaliate, either one. So why do you keep turning the light off? And then, you know, if you add a little sarcasm to it, because eventually when it kept on happening, I would say things like, hello, I turned the light on for a reason, right? So, and by the way, let me throw that out. Sarcasm is another mistake. I just want to let you know that sarcasm comes from the Greek word sarcasmos, which means to tear flesh. So everyone out there, when you are being sarcastic, it cuts like a knife, automatic breakdown in communication. They hear you, but they're not listening. So I was doing things like that. Hello, I turned the light on for a reason. Why do you keep turning the light off and blah, blah, blah. Well, if you ever find yourself saying the same things over and over and over again to certain people in a life and you seems like they just don't get it because they're not listening to you, well, that's exactly why, because we're hearing these things. And when you do say the same thing over and over and over again, what do they tend to say it sounds like?
What's that word you love
so much? Nagging.
Oh, nice. Right? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because that's what it sounds like eventually. I keep saying the same thing over and over, but eventually it just sounds like wah, 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 wah. Okay?
And so people let you know.
The bottom line is, no matter how much I think that I have a valid point and I need that light off for a reason, what's the big deal, they're not listening. And so I'm repeating myself, and I'm getting more frustrated and frustrated. So when I, you know, said, okay, I got to practice. First, you want to practice eliminating those mistakes that you use, the sarcasm, the asking why, and all that. The next thing was identify your feeling, your emotion, and use the I statement. So one day when I left the house, well, first of all, I came home from work. No one was home. My daughter wasn't home. Of course, I had this teenager, so she's upstairs in the back in her room with the door closed listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, he didn't hear me when I came home for whatever reason at that point. I did not know. But when I went, because when I left, I came back, you know, they were home. They were home. They didn't hear me. And, of course, when I drove up to the driveway, that light was off after I turned it on. Now, let's give you a little better picture of what's going on here. I have a push-button start car, so my keys are in my purse. The light has been turned off again. I'm in this closed archway in front of my house. This time I have bags in my hand plus my purse, and the keys are inside the purse because they are not being taken out of the ignition. And, all right, if there are ladies listening out there, probably mostly women out there, isn't that always the time that we have to use the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Rushing to get in the house? Yes. So here I am doing that famous dance you do when you got to use the bathroom, and I'm digging in my purse trying to find my keys, and I had got all these bags in my hand, and my hip is holding the storm door, and finally get my keys, and I'm trying to see in this enclosed archway in the dark, trying to put the key in the lock because no one heard me when I tried to ring the bell. So if we pause for a second, do you think my husband realized that I was going through all that?
Not at all.
He didn't realize that at all. All he thinks is, lights off, no one's using it, turn it off, period. So when I finally got in the house, dropped everything, ran in the bathroom, washed my hands, come out, I heard my husband clanging away on another car project. That's why he didn't hear me. He was in the garage. So I opened the garage door to let him know I'm home. He pops his head up, hey, babe, how's it going? You know, he's all chipper, and I'm, like, frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, why do you keep this and that and blah, 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 I took a deep breath and I said, okay, Leslie, we will try this out. No more asking why. And I did the I statement. I said, well, my day was okay, but right now I'm a little frustrated because when I come in the house, well, because when I leave the house, I turn on the light, but when I come back home, it's off. You know, and I can't see, it makes it a little bit difficult. I'd really like it if you would leave that light on for me, but when I come in the house, I'll turn it off. Sound a little bit better than, why do you keep turning off the light? Hello, I turned the light off for a reason, right? I think that sounded
absolutely
a little bit better to my husband.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, ladies may be thinking, well, he should already know. He should not know. We can't expect people to read our minds just like you said, Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
So all I did was change how I said it. Now, he answered me back, okay, babe, okay, okay, okay. So the way he answered me back let me know he did hear me those other 152 times. But he wasn't listening. So I left it alone. And I kid you not, Kristen, the very next time I had the opportunity to leave at night, click on the light, when I came back home, what do you think I saw?
The light was on. No?
The light was on.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
He's like, I wouldn't put a next thing. The light was actually on. Now, you know, I'm being 100% honest here. I didn't believe it. I was like, nothing is that easy. Maybe he forgot. He didn't realize it was on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on. So, you know, let it go. And I remember I agreed in the conversation to turn it off when I got in the house. So did my part. But I was still a little skeptical. So the second time I had the opportunity to leave at night, click on the light and came back home, the light was on again. Now I'm like, is this for real? So, you know, I'm still a little like, oh, my goodness. Now, okay, so the third time, three times the charm, right? Third time I had the opportunity to leave the house at night, click on the light and come back home, what did I see? That light was on again. So now I'm like, shut the front door. Why did I do this a long time ago?
Because all we caught up on how
we're feeling. Not only did I do my part.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It really does work. But see, I took it a step further. Because remember earlier I said, we're so quick to tell people when they don't do what we want them to do. But when they do do what we want them to do, we just kind of think of it as, well, that's what they're supposed to do. Well, no. Positive reinforcement does work better than negative reinforcement. And so even though it was something small, it was an effort. And so I took it a step further, acknowledged it, and I said, you know, babe, I know this is something small to you, but I've noticed that you've been leaving that light on when I turned it on, and I just want to let you know that I appreciate it. Thank you. Now, how likely do you think someone will repeat the action that you want them to repeat if you just show them a little appreciation? It's huge, and ladies, especially with men.
Absolutely. And I actually, I'm glad you took that step further, because that was going to be my next question. Because so often, as you said, when we see that the change has occurred, we just, like you were thinking, oh, finally he gets it, or finally, you know, I'm getting my way, or whatever the honest thought may be at that time. But taking it that extra step to say, I appreciate the fact that you heard me and therefore you followed through, that makes such a difference. And because I actually saw a quote the other day, and I don't remember it verbatim, but it was basically saying that people will do more when they feel appreciated as opposed to when they don't. And it's so true when we're constantly appreciating, showing appreciation. And I know for me, I have to be mindful of that, because it's very easy, especially in the household, when there's certain chores that need to be done or certain routine things that need to happen. We get into that mentality, it's supposed to happen. We all live in this household, so whoever does it, just do it. And if it gets done, I shouldn't have to praise you for it. And that should is negotiable. No, it's not a must, but it does so much. And oftentimes when you find that there's that certain chore, and I know for me, my husband helps out so much in the house. It's wonderful because I'm, you know, doing so many different things, and he's more of a homebody, so I will be out of the house more than in, especially in comparison to him. But something as simple as doing the dishes. Now, obviously, you know, dishes have to be done. At this point, there's only two of us in the house that can do them, even though there's four of us dirtying up dishes. So, you know, he'll wash the dishes, and a lot of times my thought is, okay, well, the dishes need to be washed. You got to them first, or whatever the situation may be. But I noticed that sometimes he will come back and say, hey, I washed the dishes. And I'm like, okay. But when he does that, that's my reminder that, hey, you know, he needs that reinforcement too. He needs to hear, You know, and when he does it, I will say, oh, you know, I appreciate, I saw that you did that, thank you. But it means so much more to him. If I come in the house and I see that they're already done before I get home, for me to come to him and say, hey, I see you washed the dishes, thank you so much, that means the world to him.
It's
as opposed to him having to say, you know, and then, of course, it reinforces it. So I can have my dishes done every day when
it
I come home.
More dishes. I'm telling you, if ladies out there don't get it, that is, it's huge. It's like a magic potion. I'm telling you, it's like a magic potion. Oh, I see you did the dishes. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of thinking, okay, well, I mean, I do them all the time, so nobody tells me. You know what I mean? We can get so caught up in that. But if you just show appreciation and give some praise and words of affirmation, when it comes to men especially, it is huge. You want them to do more of something, keep on telling them how great they do it.
And, Leslie, I want to touch on that because real quickly you said a lot of times we're thinking, well, you didn't appreciate me when I did X, Y, and Z, and you think about all the different chores in the household that you did that are routine, washing clothes, bathing the children, vacuuming, whatever it is that you're doing. And your automatic thought is, well, why should I praise you when I didn't get praise? Well, that's, again, that's that selfish mentality shining through. And when we come into a marriage relationship, we have to get to a place where we can let that grow. We have to grow out of that selfishness. Because, like you said, if we continue to focus on our spouses, they will reciprocate that. And as we're talking about effective communication, if it's really that important for us to feel that appreciation or hear the words of gratitude for doing whatever household chores, it's our responsibility to step up and say, hey, you know, I've done a lot around the house. It really does make me feel great when you acknowledge the things that I've done. And because as you said, we definitely know that men want to hear that. But we're human, too. We want to feel appreciated also. But sometimes we need
so
to step up.
I'm so glad you said that. Instead of thinking, well, how come I don't get appraised and blah, 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 whatever. If you do feel unappreciated, again, communicate that. But communicate it in the right way. Now, well, you never acknowledge what I do around here, right? You don't want to say that. You want to say, you know, sometimes I feel unappreciated, you know, about the things I do around here because I don't often hear it. And I'd really like it, you know, to sometimes hear when I do good.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that.
And especially for women, one of the things that I've heard so often, well, learning more about communication now and doing more of the coaching that I've been going through, hearing about asking for what you want. It's so important that we specifically ask for what it is that we want. What are our needs? Because obviously they're not all the same. And whatever our husband needs is not going to always be the same thing that we need. And we can't assume that he should know or if he would want this, so why wouldn't he give it to me? That type of mentality. We have to specifically say, this is what I want. Even down to, I know as moms, it becomes a major issue when children come into play, and it's quite common for mothers to feel overwhelmed and feel like they're super mom and they're doing all these things for the children, for the household, and not feeling appreciated. That's a common thread amongst mothers. But it's also our responsibility to step up and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. What am I going to do to make that change? And sometimes it's as simple as stepping up and telling our spouses, telling our other family members, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I need to not feel this way. And it can be as simple as I need one evening to myself every week. So you go to your husband or your significant other, whoever, and say, hey, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling like I'm drained all the time. I'm feeling like I'm on edge. I really would like to have one evening to myself without the children so I can just have me time every single week. How how can you support me in this, or how can we go about this? And sit down, because oftentimes, and I really feel that super mom mentality or that super mom outlook is so prevalent in our society that it's expected. We almost feel like we're supposed to feel drained and overwhelmed and you know, just on edge all the time, because I'm a mother and that's what mothers most do. You know, that's what you hear about all the time. But it doesn't have to be that way, because self-care is very important. But it's also up to us. It is self-care. So we have to take that opportunity to speak up and say, this is what I need. How can you support me in that? And in most cases, you're not going to get a whole lot of kickback from your spouse or you know, whether it's your siblings or whoever's helping you raise these children, you're not going to hear a whole lot of kickback. Hey, you want an evening? Sure, no problem. Let's work that out. But you have to speak up and say what you need.
That's true. That is so true. That is so true. Rick Johnson is an author of The Marriage of Your Dreams, and in there he repeatedly says how much a man really wants his wife to be happy. He just needs to know how. So you're right. Communicate your needs, but communicate it in a way that it's not going to come off as a criticism. That's why I say speak for yourself, not the other person. Stick to the issue and don't start talking about the person associated with the issue. And when it's a valid complaint, they will hear you and they'll actually want to make you happy. And if you show appreciation, they'll do more of it, because they won't be thinking, why do I do all this stuff? They don't appreciate it. They want to be appreciated too.
Exactly. Exactly. That is so, so true. So, Leslie, unfortunately, I know we could really sit down and continue this conversation for another 2 hours, but our time is coming to an end. So before we wrap up for this evening, I just want all the listeners to know you are listening to Family Values with Kristen Michelle, and this is a part of the Life Coach Radio Network. So we have a plethora of shows, a variety of shows available to you on the Life Coach Radio Network. And tomorrow afternoon we have on our International Life Coach Radio at 12 noon, we have an awesome show for you, as well as at 2 p.m. on we have Holy Shift. I have to make sure I say that clearly, Holy Shift. As well as another show at 8 o'clock tomorrow evening. So we have all types of coaches. We have health and wellness. We have fitness. We have spiritual leaders. We have life coaches, mental health, relationships. Everything under the sun that you need is right here with the Life Coach Radio Network. So you can look us up if you go to www.lifecoachradionetwork.com. You can find all of our different hosts, a whole lot of information about the network. And, of course, if you are interested in joining the network, you can find that information there, too. So definitely check us out, and thank you so much for continuing to support the Life Coach Radio Network. So, Leslie, we are down to the last few minutes, so I want to thank you so much again for offering your time this evening. This has been an excellent conversation. I am really, really excited. And just to let all the listeners know, Leslie will be one of our speakers at this year, my organization, Living the Vows. We have our third annual Young Love Marriage Experience. So you can go to www.livingthevows.com. That's where you can find information about me and my organization and the upcoming Young Love Marriage Experience on September 19th, which is a Friday, 2014. We're going to have an awesome time. So if you know a married couple, an engaged couple, no matter what shape your relationship is in, come on out. There's something there for you. And as I said, Leslie is one of our speakers for the event, and I know you all have enjoyed everything that she shared this evening. She's going to share that much more in that event. So definitely check us out, www.livingthevows.com, or you can email me at info@livingthevows.com. There is an S on the end, so vows.com. So thank you all. And Ms. Leslie, if you want to give us maybe a couple of closing points and also share how our listeners can reach you and get some more, maybe some one-on-one time with you.
Yes, absolutely. First, I'd just like to say I'm very excited for the event on September 19th. I'm excited. Marriages, that's my passion. That's my purpose. Thank you for having me tonight as well. To reach me, you can reach me at Leslie@lifeinlove.co. That's Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, at life, L-I-S-E-N-L-O-V-E.co. Again, there's so much more. We've only touched a little bit about the mistakes we make in communication. So come to the event on the 19th in Baltimore. It's going to be a blast. Thank you so much for having me tonight, Kristen.
Awesome. So we, Ed, so we do have a couple minutes. So do you have any closing comments or any last-minute tips you want to share with our listeners this evening?
Absolutely. Like you said, I could go on for another hour or two. So really quickly.
I know you could.
One other mistake that we make, consider timing. When, although we feel, of course, we're more important than whatever is going on at the moment, whether it's a football game, a Super Bowl, or whatever it is, timing is huge. If we want to be understood, okay, what's a good time for me isn't always a good time for my husband. So choosing a time that's best for both of us will increase, you know, that understanding, because, again, effective communication is where all parties have a clear understanding. And if it's not a good time, yes, they'll hear you, but they won't be listening. So we need to start, whether it's in your relationship at home or at work, we need to start approaching the situation and saying, I would like to talk to you about whatever it is now a good time? And if it's not, we can set a time. Well, we're both likely to listen to each other.
And that's also important, because when you have the other party's input as far as when is a good time, or and they're clear on, hey, I want to talk, there's something I want to talk about, or this is a particular topic I want to talk about, when would be a good time for you? One, that you're getting their buy-in to that situation. So you're telling them, hey, this is something important to me, I want to share this with you, I want to discuss this with you. When you get your spouse's response, saying, hey, okay, well, let's sit down at this time, one, that's giving a little bit of buy-in, saying, hey, I hear you, and I'm willing to move forward with this. But also you can hold that person accountable to say, okay, you said 8 o'clock worked for you, this was best for you, so therefore I'm making myself available at this time, so therefore, you know, you set the time. It wasn't me that set the time. So I need you to, and that'll give a little more of that buy-in, as opposed to, as you said earlier, this is what works, this is the time that works for me. You need to get on board.
Right, because we often just walk up on someone and start talking. And even if they're just watching the game, yeah, they can pause the game and stop. But are they really effectively listening to the words come out of your mouth? Or are they thinking about the game?
Right.
And listening is a huge part of communication. So let's talk at a time where we're both likely to listen to each other.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. Well, again, thank you so much, Leslie. This has been an awesome conversation. I always love, you know, you have so much information, and I love your enthusiasm. This has been a really great hour. So I appreciate you, and we'll definitely talk soon. Definitely see each other for the Young Love Marriage Experience. So thank you to all of our listeners as well. This, again, is the Life Coach Radio Network, and this show is Family Values with Kristen Michelle. I am your host. Thank you so much, and have an outstanding evening. Take care.
Thank you. Have a good night.